Elizabeth. Yeah, Miss Jenkins, can you? Miss Polly asked that all of y'all would sit down, please. Yes, Elizabeth's got her. All right. Welcome to some, not exactly visitors, but welcome to see some faces haven't seen in a long time here.
Yes.
So glad to have everybody here. We're starting a new topic today. Our topic is prayer. It's such a tiny topic, you know, it's only covered from Genesis to Revelation, but as most of these topics we're covering, we'll cover some of it, but obviously there's a whole lot more we could do. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I thought I put one in your hand. Okay, Elizabeth will give you another one. It's okay.
And she might have got it, but there was one laying here.
Oh, she laid it. Okay, we're good to go. All right, well, let's open in prayer to get started here. Dear God, thank you so much for bringing people in today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Beautiful weather out there today. Father, I just pray that your hand of blessing would be upon your house today and upon your people, upon your word as we share it today. Lord, would you open up our hearts and help us to understand all that we need to hear from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to kick this lesson off with taking a look at the first prayer. We're going to look at the first prayer. Anyone want to take a stab at the first prayer? Wow, no one will even take a guess? I mean, it's okay to be wrong. I mean, it's like... Okay, well, it's a little bit of a trick question. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10. Pastor's going worse. Crawling, you're right. Okay, so yes, we could go to Genesis and we could talk about the example of where we see someone praying first, this out of the other, but I wanted to just kind of kick the lesson off with what I think is the first prayer that a person prays, you know, that God's listening to. And I'll caveat all that. But essentially, and I think I'll go ahead and tell you the short of it all, is our first prayer is that prayer of salvation.
Amen.
I mean, God is listening for the unbeliever, a repentant heart, confessing their sins, and crying out to God. That's their first prayer. So let's just read Romans 8 to sink that in for us today. Romans 10. I was looking at verse 8. Romans 10. And let's start with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that calling upon the name of the Lord, is that not prayer? Is that not why we say, you know, let's pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior? It's calling upon the name of the Lord. It's associated with a repentant heart. It's not coming to that point of in our understanding that God has a righteous law, a righteous judgments, and he has established that prior to even writing it down in the law of Moses. He had already established his law. Even the declarers, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, understood that there was a natural law that was already understood of man long before it was ever written down in the time of Moses. So there's a natural law that man understood. Adam and Eve understood that from the very beginning. They broke God's law. They disobeyed God. And when any person comes to that point where they understand that they have broken God's law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And those are just a few of the ten, what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, but any breaking of God's law is sin, and that separates us from God. You know, that sets us on this path for all eternity to be in hell and in eternal judgment from God because we've broken his law. And so once we understand that point and we come with a repentant heart, confessing our sins before God, and then we cry out to our living God for salvation, he saves us. He hears that prayer. And so that's why I just use the term the first prayer, not to be overly literal, but I thought you could understand what I mean there. So the first prayer. And once we understand that, so a person who comes to this first prayer, the real first prayer of their life, they don't understand all the doctrinal teachings of prayer. they probably have not heard most of the Bible's teaching on prayer, though some have. Some have sat under the Bible for years and years and years before they're ever saved. But they don't have to have a full comprehension except that they're talking to God.
Yes, amen.
And it's just really that simple. They're speaking to the supreme being of the universe, the creator of all things. It's just a man actually getting to talk to God. Throughout history, that has been a fascinating thing to every civilization in the world. How does human beings communicate with supreme beings? Writings throughout history have focused on this. Mythology, you know, is all about how does man communicate with the gods? Well, the problem is there's only one God, and when you communicate with the one God, it's really, really simple. But you have to get past that first point of understanding that you need a creator God and that you're not a God in yourself. So that's our first prayer. And God absolutely hears that prayer.
Amen.
Absolutely. So now, what is prayer? So we're going to just kind of walk through some of the verses we have here. We've kind of introduced it there, but let's kind of look at a few scripture references. When we did lesson four way back last year, in lesson four, we talked about our daily walk. And, you know, we talked about getting time in the Word and then time in prayer. And is that getting the Word allows God to speak to us into our hearts. And then as we pray back, we're speaking back to God. And so it's not a complicated thing. But boy, there are so many facets of it and so many different aspects of it and so much power. And so it's like the more we dig in and learn, and even more, the more we practice prayer, the more we can grow in not just a intellectual understanding of prayer. We can read a lot of verses and say, got it, check. We understand scholastically, we understand what the Bible teaches about prayer. Then what? But then you look at certain people, you read about certain people and you go, wow, they understand something far beyond what I understand. Because they like get on their face before God and things happen. You know, there's answers. You know, they're in touch with God. And so prayer is a huge thing. It can be prayed by a very young, simple child, and God hears that prayer. It can pray all the way into 100 plus years old, and God still hears that prayer. It doesn't matter where we come from in life. It doesn't matter who we are. It's one person, completely equal on that ground, with the ability to speak to an almighty God. Because we have one mediator, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he is the mediator between God and man. And so we don't need any other person to pray for us, pray with us, pray. We can open our mouths, open our hearts to Almighty God because we have the Lord Jesus Christ that we're praying to. So those are some of the things we're going to touch on here as we look at prayer. This will be lesson one. We will be on travel next week, and Pastor will cover Sunday school. I don't know whether they'll talk about prayer or not, but whatever he covers. But then we'll pick it up and keep going until we get through this lesson. But there's plenty we can talk about. So what is prayer? Back in lesson four, we looked at Matthew 7:7, and it teaches us that prayer, by definition of the real meaning of the word prayer, is asking. All right, you can go look it up in the dictionary, and I did that yesterday just to kind of say, okay, why did he focus on that? Well, because it's a literal definition. It's a little definition. And it goes beyond, you know, as Christians in a church environment, we only think of prayer as us talking to God. Well, the word prayer has been used throughout history in other ways. I pray you, therefore, I'm about to ask you for something. And that was a very common use in the English language to use the word that way. We don't generally use it that way today, which is just as well. It makes it more special. It makes it set aside for God. But it's not inappropriate use to use the word. So Matthew 7:7 teaches us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. It's absolutely asking. 1 John 5:14. We'll look that verse up here. 1 John 5:14. And a lot of these verses, it's hard to emphasize individual verses to memorize because you have an entire book that could do you well to memorize many, many portions of it and lots of it. But there's a lot of little short verses that can really come in handy as you just meditate on things and they come back into your mind. Here's yet another one. 1 John 5:14 reads, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Simple little verse. But one is prayer. Okay, if you're trying to fill in your blanks, prayer is asking for anything according to his will. So there's a couple of key thoughts you take away there. First, we just understood from the verse before, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So when we come down later in verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, whose will? It's God's will, his Son's will. So if we're praying in accordance with what he wants us to be, to have and do and say, then that he says he's going to hear us and he's going to answer. He's going to, and we have confidence in that. Confidence because he showed us, you know, we can have a whole lesson on that. But he showed us that when he walked the earth, how he spoke to his Father and things happened. He spoke to his Father acknowledging that the communication is open. He told his disciples over and over again, pray, ask, seek, knock. He said that we'll cover several more verses where he says, you know, he will answer when there's done in according to my will. And then we clearly understand throughout the Bible, it's like, why? Just, it's outside the character of God to give us things that are outside his will. You know, why would he do that? Sometimes this is a personal opinion. I think it can be backed up. But I think sometimes God allows us to have things when we refuse and reject his will. And so we get outside his will and we press. It's kind of like a child going, I want this. No, it's hot pepper. This is jalapeno. You really don't want, no, I want this. Okay, fine. Ah! Okay, that's a kind of a small thing, and you're not really harming your child or anything, but you're teaching them a lesson. There are some things that I think when we really, really continue to press back and push back against God and continue to refuse what his perfect plan for us, he does not press us into his will. And it's a hard thing. I mean, sometimes you go, Lord, would you press me into your will? Because I don't want to go off the path. But there's many times I've asked God thinking that I really think this is the right path. But Lord, nevertheless, thy will be done. Because far be it that you let me go down this path that I don't need to be going down because I want nothing to do with it. Even though I think this is where is the right path and I think this is where you're leading, please don't let me go down this path if it's the wrong one. I don't know. I think that's a safe prayer. Because far be it that I find myself going down whatever pursuit, a career path, a job, a family, a purchase. You know, oh, boy, the purchases that can get you in trouble. You know, if you're not really following God and not seeking his will, you can end up owning things or paying on them forever. You know, things that you have no business having. And God didn't intend for you to have them. You know, and so there's just everything's worthy to consider him, consider his will. Well, we have to learn what his will is. We got to get back to the Bible, right? We got to spend time in the Bible, or you'll never even understand what his will is. How can you possibly understand God and what he wants for you if you don't spend time allowing him to speak to you through his word? So, y'all know these things. I repeat them out loud because it reminds me, and hopefully it is a good reminder for you, and it's just, that's why we keep going to the word every day. Remind us of the things that we know, and then he opens up little tidbits of things. Oh, I hadn't seen that one before because we've been faithful in getting back to his word every day. All right, so we have a confidence because we know Christ and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God who cannot lie. And so we know we have great confidence in him. And when he says that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He hears us. Okay? So that's a great verse to keep in your memory. If you also see Philippians 4:6, I think you a very familiar verse there. We'll just start in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we're saying prayer is asking for everything. You know, it's everything that we need, we come before Almighty God. Now, since we're studying, looking at prayer in a bigger picture, I don't want to just skip verses, though the topic may be covered later in the lesson. It's easier when you're already at the verse. So when you look here and it says, one, be careful for nothing. That's being overly anxious, worried. You know, you pick your word, it's careful, full of care, full of the wrong care, you know, and we don't always use the word that way nowadays, and so it's helpful to go back and remember that careful means full of care. Well, in this context, it's full of the wrong care. You know, if you're careful about safety, if you're careful about taking care of someone, that's great. Careful is a good thing. But when you're full of the wrong cares, bringing anxiety and worrying, that's not what he wants. So he's saying, here's your solution. Pray. And supplication and thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving. So we have a few more words that are closely associated with the study of prayer. Prayer, by name, is asking. Supplication, again, I need my supply. Supplication is supply. There's things that I need, and there's things that I go to my Creator God to provide for me. I need things, so I ask for. It's supplicate. It's a supplication there. And then thanksgiving. Why? What a great God we have. When He provides for us, we ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be giving thanks all the time. You know, we have the other verses, you know, giving thanks always and for everything, in everything. So thanksgiving is very, very important. And we're human beings, and we get stuck in the flesh, and it's easy to just ask. And then we start thinking, oh, our God must get tired of me asking. Well, sometimes I wonder if He doesn't get tired of us asking if we never say thank you. That's a human's perspective, okay? But think about it. When someone's asking you for something, but they're always asking, but there's never any gratitude, there's never any thank you, it's harder to be generous. Now, that should not drive our generosity. You know, our generosity should be governed on what God's telling us to do and et cetera. But the point is, though, you know, God is not a man, but He wants us to be thankful to Him. So we follow through, and we should be thankful to others as well under that example. So let your request be made known unto God. So tell Him, you know, make it very, very clear. And then the beautiful promise that's where we get peace. You know, you got all that worry, that anxiety, that too much care built up, then take it to the Lord. And I think as we do that, so not only are we're asking for God, maybe we're asking for peace, direction, wisdom, there's a whole list of things we'll cover later, but we're asking for something, maybe a supply that we need, supplicating our Lord, asking for things, but then when we're thankful, and if we spend a lot of time on the thankfulness, I think that's what brings us the peace. Amen. So we ask, that gives us peace in that we have that confidence, knowing that we're asking in His will, He'll hear us. So part of that brings us peace because we have that confidence in Him. But then when we start thanking Him for all the stuff, oh, by the way, yes, I probably shared similar things before, but in my work, there's just days where, I don't know, I'm having to accomplish something that is hard, or I'm not really sure how to accomplish it, or I have to wait on other people to connect the dots because it's not all within my immediate jurisdiction and power to make something happen. You know, I need approval for something. I have to put it out there, but it's like, well, what if that person's not available? What if they're not here? It's like, Lord, would you cause them to look at their email? Ding, boom. They were off today. God has a way of answering prayers far beyond anything I can do. So why should I sit there and be overly consumed with worry when just allow God to do it? And then start thanking Him for all the times He's come through and done this and this and this and provided and provided. You know, if you're in need, just start listing all the stuff that He's already given you. And if nothing else, you start going, well, Lord, if you don't give it to me, I guess that's fine because you've already given me so much. How can I be ungrateful? You've overwhelmed me with the things you've provided already. So I think thanksgiving is a huge, huge part of prayer. And if we said nothing else about prayer, I think if we got a handle on thanksgiving, the rest of it would really, really fall into place and be much, much easier to comprehend. Okay, I've already kind of played this out, but let me just state it clearly. Even though the lesson starts off, he's showing us the literal definition of prayer, which is to ask, and I don't have any difficulty with that at all. But what I want to do, though, is say that prayer is a bigger than just asking, which we've already seen here in this verse. But then we'll reference the Lord's model prayer when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, pray after this manner. Even in there, we see more than asking. So it's clear that as you look at prayers and prayer across the board, that it's not limited to just ask, which I think is why you see verses like this in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a lot of things intertwined with this because it's our full communication with God. So I just want to be careful that we don't put it in a box too quick. You know, don't try to say, oh, it's just asking. It's like, well, okay, by definition, that's what the word means. Got it. but it's bigger than that. There's so much more as we communicate with our God. Because we're communicating with our God, that sounds a lot like a relationship, which is what drew me back to saying, what's our first prayer? It's that prayer of salvation. It's that connecting. It's becoming a child of God. It's becoming, God is now my Father. So here's Father Day. We talk about our Father's Day. I mean, this is absolutely His day. Every day is our Father's Day, and we need to honor our Father in heaven every single day. So He teaches us to pray, and it's building that relationship because He says, talk to me. There's not a verse that says that. But He says, talk to me, talk to me. And He's constantly urging us, whether it's crying out, making supplication, give thanks, praise, honor, adoration, confession, intercession. There's a lot of words that are tied up in what we often just say prayer, right? So it is a big topic. It's so simple, and yet it's big because it's about a relationship. And how do you put a relationship in a small little box? You can't. It's got too many facets, and there's too many different aspects to it. Every day can be different within a relationship. And so your prayer is not going to fit this little cookie cutter recipe every single day. There are things to learn about prayer. There are some model prayers. I really don't think Jesus was saying every time you pray, repeat these words. I think that's pretty clear because you see other prayers throughout, and I think it's obvious from reading the scriptures that's not the case. But what He taught us in that prayer is packed. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. We see adoration. We see a confession. We see asking and making supplication. We see praying for things like delivering us from evil. And so it's a powerful teaching, but it shows us how large prayer can be. And then as He prayed on earth and showed us His communication with His Father, sometimes it was as simple as, Father, you know, I said this because of those standing around, not because I didn't know. He's talking to His Father. He's just having a conversation there and people are listening in. You know, and then it's pouring our heart out. You see Jesus in the garden, and He's just pouring His heart out. I mean, talk about honesty. You know, if this cup could pass from me. Wow. He was very human, was He not? He was very human. And here He is asking His Father, but nevertheless, Thy will be done. And so it's just that honesty, that pureness. And that's what I think we're asked to do in a relationship where there can be full and open communication. There's no fear. It's not like God's going to go, why'd you ask for that? That's not the God we serve. You know, that's a human misconception of a wrong God, of a wrong way to portray His likeness and His character. God, I think there's a tremendous amount of freedom in talking very, very openly to our Father. And so, and He's the one who opened the door. He's the one who established it. He's the one who's already put His Son on the cross to die for us and raised Him up again in all power. So not only do we have the freedom to come boldly before the throne of grace, but we also have the confidence to know that when we do, we're not going to be slapped down. The scepter is always raised. Amen. It's like you can come forward at all times. There's never a time where you can't come. But when you're coming in sin, I'm just going to hold you at bay because I'm not going to listen, because that's the first thing you got to deal with. You got to fix this sin in your life so that we can have open communication, just like in a human relationship. When we have hurts, when we have harm against each other, when we have sins against one another, and we're not dealing with those and cleaning those up, you might be nearby. You might be kind of talking a little bit, but there's not communication. It's broken. And that's the same way it is with God. And He taught us that. You know, your sins have separated you from you and your God. David had learned that in Psalm 51. Let's just look at that. I think I want 66:18. Yeah, I want 66:18. Psalm. Yes, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I think that's very significant. It's not that He has the inability to hear. I mean, he's God, right? It's like God can see and hear everything. He's God. But he will not hear. He says, no, you got to fix the relationship first. Don't come asking me for all this stuff. I'm not listening. I'm waiting to hear the right thing. Nope. Ah, confession. Come on. I just think it's really simple. I just, and it's, I don't know. hopefully you've experienced this in human relationships too. I mean, certainly in marriage with our children, I feel that same way. If there's a tension, you got to deal with that first. You got to clean that up first. Now you can have open communication. And it's so much easier and pleasant and joyful, and all of life is worthwhile living. That's the way it is with God. Keep things open and clean. Keep the slate clean. And God is just eager to listen to us and absolutely answer our prayers and provide above and beyond. Sometimes, I don't know, you know, God in his wisdom, God is such a wise God. And sometimes he says, wait. Why? Sometimes I don't know that answer. Sometimes he makes it clear when he finally answers, and you go, oh, thank you for waiting. It just wasn't time right. Or, I don't know, maybe we're asking for provision for something, but we really didn't need it yet. Maybe he had already provided for it. And he's going, well, wait a minute. I already gave you what you need. What are you doing? Oh, I was hoarding that. It's like, no, you don't understand. I already gave it to you to provide. No, I already gave it to you. So maybe he waits and works things like that in our life. Those are just examples that come to my mind. But I think those are very real. And God is he's so wise, he's not going to allow us to constantly just blow it all the time when we're staying in close relationship. Now, when we reject him and go our own way and do our own thing, then yeah, he will allow us to fail so that we can get to the end of our rope and come crying back to him, just like we saw the children of Israel over and over and over again. All he made it so perfectly clear to them, stay in my will, and I will bless you. Reject me, rebel against me, disobey, and you will be cursed. And I, as a believer, he will never separate us from that relationship. You know, that make that very, very clear. Our relationship is always there with respect to our position in Christ. You know, once we are saved, nothing can take us out of the Father's hand. Nothing. All right? When he gives us everlasting, eternal, shall never perish life, it's forever and always. So all we're doing is, when we're sinning against God now, is we're breaking our fellowship with our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus with, oh, by the way, when you're part of the body, that impacts the body too. So anything we're impacting the body, we're impacting our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the head of the body. And so it's, no, we're not an island. No, we're not our own person. Everything does impact everybody else. So I'm kind of covering a wide range on this, because I just couldn't bring myself to just go verse to verse today. I just had a lot to put out there, and maybe in the future lessons we'll go a little bit more verse by verse. But I wanted to put those things out there, because to me, I needed to say big picture, where am I going after? We know so much about prayer. We've heard a lot about prayer. We read about prayer. And yet, I just got to come back to those basics of it's communicating with God. It's a relationship. All right. The first prayer. If you say the first prayer was communicating with God, well, that's Adam. He gets it, right? He's walking in the cool of the evening, communicating with his Lord. So, you know, if I had to say the literal first prayer in the scriptures, like, well, if it's just communicating with God, then that's it. Adam's it. Now, then we see different pictures. The next one we see is Cain. Cain, when God confronts him about the murder of his brother, now here he is having this conversation with God. And so it's like, well, I guess that's prayer too. But then we see this picture of this man, Enoch. And there's this other man that just, I mean, he obviously got it right. He got that relationship right. See, Adam and Cain were dealing with sin. Well, I mean, at first Adam wasn't. You know, it's just walking in the fellowship and cool of the garden. But then we're seeing him dealing with sin. And then we see Cain dealing with sin. But Enoch, we just see, from what little we know about him, he just had this walk with the God, with the Lord. He had this communication, he had this relationship that he could just walk and talk with him daily. And it's like, wow, that's what we're after. We long to have that same type of person, that same type of relationship with our Father. All right, so let's see. Let's go ahead and go to that next section while we have a little bit of time. Why should I pray? Okay. Why should I pray? What I want to get to by the end of this short little section is, I think that's the wrong question. I think the question is, why would I not pray? I mean, based on everything we already said, it's like, okay. So Luke 18:1, I recognize that we collectively look at Scripture differently. We look at life differently. Some people just need the slightest hint that something's a good thing, and so they'll do it. Other people need a firm command, a law, you know, to do it. And so God gives both. On the one hand, in Luke 18:1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then it goes on and teaches us some about prayer. But so right up front, Jesus said, no, it's a mandate. It's a command. I mean, you have to pray. It's like, this is what you ought to do. It is within your responsibility. It is within your due diligence as a believer in God. You must pray. Okay, great. So some people, that's all they need. Got it. Check. God told me to do it. I must do it. Great. Now learn what it's all about and everything else we're talking about too. And then we have other times in Colossians 4:2. So here's God using the Apostle Paul to continue to teach the churches that were established as he went out on his missionary work. So Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Which we'll get into a later part of this lesson, things he asked people to pray for, but it just starts off as continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. Just do it. This is something you must be doing. So continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, hopefully just a couple pages over for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, as he's going down almost like a Proverbs type of listing, just boom, 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 boom. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Just like this is, he's summarizing his letter to them. Boom, 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 boom. Pray without ceasing. He doesn't give an explanation, doesn't go into details at this point. He talks about prayer in other places, but this is like pray without ceasing. Do it all the time. And so, of course, we can say, does that mean like literally? On our knees, on our face, you know, what we're actually voicing a prayer to God all the time. Well, I think as we study that out, we can see, okay, I need to be in a continual attitude and communication of prayer with God. Well, so then you start looking at all the different prayers, and I just got through reading first chapter of Nehemiah, and there it talks about him. You know, number one, why is he wanting to go back? You know, Jerusalem needs work and everything. And we find out he's a cupbearer, and he's going before the king, and the king says, why are you so sad? Well, why would I not be sad? Because the city of my fathers is being torn down, and it's in ruins. And so the king says, so what is your request? And he says, and I prayed to God, and I answered the king. That was a very quick prayer. And, you know, I've seen that through the years, and it's, yeah, that's right. Because sometimes prayers are just like that. Lord, please help me. Well, if you've got a relationship of prayer where you're praying regularly and constantly, then that's fine. Okay, so I'll relate it to marriage. All right, so we're talking daily, we're communicating daily, and sometimes we have a long conversation or something, but then other times it's like all it has to be is a short, quick comment, and we understand each other. Because we communicate all the time. And so when you communicate well with people on a regular basis, then all your conversation doesn't have to be this. Sometimes it's just boom. Or you have little words that are common phrase. You know, I mean, things you see, things you hear, things you read, things you relate to in life. And all you got to relate to is a quick little quip. You know, we refer back to kids' stories a lot because we spent so many years reading kids' books. But there's so many little nuggets in there that all you have to do is make a quick reference to one, and instantly our family knows exactly. You don't have to have the rest of the conversation. It's understood because you made a reference to something that they can relate to. Okay? So same way when we know the scriptures. If we're having a conversation or something and a verse comes to mind and we just reference maybe, I don't know, maybe we're having a conversation about prayer or something. Oh, I remember, and pray without ceasing. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to explain it because it's like we already understand. And so we just make a quick reference to it. So I think when we're having, with respect to our relationship with God, there's times when we need to have time, quality time with our Lord, where we just get away, get to that prayer closet, get to that secret prayer, where we're just pouring our heart out before God and we're going back and forth and we're communicating with our Father. But then in those moments, oh, I'm standing here before the king and I've got to make my request and the door is open. He had already been praying. Remember in chapter 1, he had already spent time in prayer and fasting. So he had already, God already knew what his heart was. He already knew what he wanted, and Nehemiah already knew what God wanted him to ask for. So I don't think it was like he was asking from scratch, if you will. He was now going, okay, Lord, here we go. So I need your strength. And so he prayed quickly, and he had already gotten the king's attention. So God had already opened the door for him. He had already started answering a prayer, and so now he just a quick prayer to God, and now he could speak boldly, trusting that the Lord was the one that was speaking through him. We have lots of times like that in life, you know, where it's whether we're sharing the gospel with someone or whether we're trying to do something else in life. So we just need God to speak through us. It doesn't mean he's given us, okay, here's page 1, 2, and 3. If you'll just read these, you know, you'll be good to go. You know, that you just spend an hour him telling you what to type out. Okay, well, sometimes you might do that for a sermon or our lesson, but a lot of times we don't have that. You know, it's like, boom, opportunity strikes, and we get to share the gospel with someone. Well, we're referring back to the time we spent in the Word. We're referring back to the truth of knowing the gospel. But in those moments, though, we need God to lead our speech. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. And just as so one, that's one example of sharing the gospel with someone. But another example is just working through an issue. All of a sudden, someone comes up to you and says, hey, can we talk? Don't you love it when someone says, can we talk? Yes, of course. And you just hope for the best. It's like, but sometimes those are lead-ins to some hard conversations. So it's like, Lord, please help us. Sometimes, depending on who it is, in your relationship, you might, yeah, could we pray first? And kind of set the stage. But sometimes you just need a quick, and maybe it's a boss at work or something. Hey, I need to talk about something. And then boom, it's like, okay, Lord, please help me. And so it's those quick prayers. So praying without ceasing, I can easily understand that when I'm having a regular, consistent prayer time with the Lord, say scheduled even, a specific time, but then throughout the day, I'm constantly speaking to him. I'm asking for something or giving him thanks, saying, oh, thank you, Lord. All of a sudden something comes up that we either expected or that you know you'd asked for or just a really good thing, and you say thank you, and you purpose to talk to God all the time. I think when we practice saying thank you to other people, it's easier to say thank you to God and vice versa. Just our relationship with God, I don't know how you separate it from our relationship with other people. You know, it's just that becomes who we are. He defines who we are. So pray without ceasing. We already looked at Matthew 7:7. Ask. You know, we are commanded to pray. And so the author says, well, look at Matthew 7:7. It says, ask. What more you need to say, right? And then so the second part, if you flip the page there, 102, we are privileged to pray. John 16:24. Another great promise. So here's Jesus right before, they may have already been standing in the garden or en route to it, or it's right before going to the Garden of Gethsemane for his final evening there. And so he says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, how many people do not want joy? Anybody? Okay, so Jesus knew that they wanted joy. He wanted joy. I mean, think about that. Does God not want joy? Sure. And so he wants us to have joy. We're his children. Does he not want the best for us? Yeah, he does. He wants us to have joy. So he says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's a rich promise. So even if you're not motivated by him saying, pray, oh, you have tremendous benefits? Oh, now I'm listening. We're motivated by different things at different times, okay? So there are tremendous benefits to prayer. You can't really separate those two, but Hebrews 4:16, and I made reference to this earlier, and those who know the verse knew I was referring to it, just like I was talking about. So Hebrews 4:16. Where we, again, this is where we get that tremendous confidence. Let us therefore come boldly boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are we not a needy people? Do we not need grace and mercy daily? Then come boldly. I think the beauty of it is, let's draw back to verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it starts back with the word of God and how the word of God just opens up our hearts and dissects it and reveals truth here. The next verse is, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we have the word of God. It exposes all that we are. It's a sharper than a two-edged sword, so it's getting down deep. And then 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So now we have to start looking to Jesus, whom we've learned about in the Word of God. So we're looking unto Jesus, and he's our great high priest. He is that mediator for us between God and man, and so we can go to him. So hold fast to the profession that you've made. You've made a commitment to Christ. Hold fast to that. You don't need to waver from that because you have an almighty God. You've got the rich Word of God. You've got the very Son of God who he can see all. And then 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So this great high priest, this Jesus Christ, our Lord, is an almighty God who's already suffered anything that we could possibly dream of. He's already endured that, and he triumphed over it. He was tempted, and yet he didn't sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So it's one thing to come boldly, but when we're doing it the right way, because there's a bold brashness, I don't think we have that freedom. But a boldness that is looking unto Jesus Christ, a boldness that his heart has already been pricked and laid open before God, and which points to me as a humility because our sin has already been dealt with, and we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we absolutely can come boldly before the throne. But it's a boldness that's just wrapped in humility because we recognize that we are coming before the very throne of God. It's not something that's in our own strength. It's not our own merit. It's the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then we can have that phenomenal boldness with God. And so the privilege we have to be before the throne of God. So I would reshape the title of this section is, why would I not pray? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for just giving us this tremendous privilege, an opportunity to come before the very throne of grace, knowing and having great confidence that you hear us. And Lord, even just from personal experience, we know you've answered prayers over and over and over again. As a church here, we know that you've answered prayers over and over again. You supply our every need. You are always there for us. Oh, may we be constantly before you, ceaseless in prayer, constantly coming boldly before your throne. And Lord, we do that even this moment as we lift up the continuing hour, the next hour of our time here in your house today. Lord, would you just bring people in? Would you bring our hearts to the point of being humble and yet bold before you? And Lord, would you bless us as we fellowship with one another, as we have exhortation one with another? And Lord, we would leave later on knowing clearly that we have been in the house of the Lord today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.